we had spent some time, actually about a week ago, my wife and I took a meal over to Steve and Shakun. And I will say something. If you've seen the picture of them this morning, what's the first thing you noticed about him? That big smile. And he could not talk, barely talk when we were there. And there still somehow seems to be a joy. And really, if this is teaching me anything, is, and I, you know how you know things, but when it's in your face is when it starts becoming more, a little more home, is something like that. We know that the situations in life that we all face or are going to face, honestly, the joy of God is, even though we have seen it, when you get into that situation like they are at, there somehow is a power there. There's a God that walks beside us. I want to talk about that God this morning, and I'm touching on a pretty big subject. I think it was the first message that I would have preached after, I believe it was right after the ordination, was on the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not touching on the Lord's Prayer this morning again, because there is, we covered it that time. But one thing I have never really did a tremendous dive into, and I know even today we're not going to be scratching the surface at all, but on the subject. But I actually want to talk again, or just talk about the subject of actual prayer. And we're going to be doing a little bit of hopping around the scriptures. So three major places that we're going to be touching on in the scriptures on this thing of prayer. Prayer is something that we all have known of since probably childhood. As long as I can remember, I remember going to church, and the preacher would get up and he would pray. And there's, how many prayers did we have this morning on a public way? And then if mom and dad, when over growing up, they had family devotions. And if I remember correctly, one of us children might take a turn, and then dad finished up with the prayer. So prayer has been kind of a part of our system, and a part of our church, and a part of our homes. And I'm afraid sometimes what happens is we stop sometimes realizing just by familiarity what actual prayer is and what it's for and why we do it. I am no authority on the subject of prayer as far as being a prayer warrior. There's people, I've heard of there's a lady that was crippled in the one church. I don't know that I knew her. That if you wanted a prayer that needed answering, you went to her. And somehow, through her connection with God, she would get answers. I am not, some people are prayer warriors. Some people seem to have a real gift for that. I don't know that I'm that person. But I will say this. I've had prayed where things didn't happen. I've had prayers that never seemed, and sometimes I believe didn't go much higher than the ceiling. I want to look at that a little bit this morning as well. What is it? What is prayer? Prayer is an invocation or an act that seeks to activate a rapport or connection with an object or deity through deliberate communication. Maybe I should read that again. Prayer is an invocation or an act that seeks to activate a rapport or connection with an object or a deity through deliberate communication. Any of you that have been in the mission field, you can go anywhere in the world, and as a whole, this thing of prayer It is something that's a part of the fiber of community. It just is. Everybody, every religion, if there is such, yeah, every religion, or even every angle of Christianity, have a prayer being a part of their religious experience. It almost seems like there is a hole in our heart. And we've all heard this. There's a God-sized hole. But even if you don't know it, there is something in our human DNA that when we get into life, you reach for something. A person who says, I believe in nothing. I will pray to no man. I will pray to no God. I believe in no man and no God. I can assure you of one thing. The day is going to come. They're going to be praying or wish they did. It's also interesting when you get into a real corner in your life, it seems human nature reaches for a higher power. And human nature has lost touch since the fall with God as a whole. But that need is still there for communication with a higher object or a deity. What it means by deliberate communication is just that. It means it is an act that we do on purpose. Prayer does not happen just by accident. What do all religions pray for? This is universal. We do it. Christianity is kind of tied in this, what I'm saying. Am I saying we're the same prayer people as the people who do not know God? No, but the needs are the same. We pray for protection or help, which is safety, health, or aid. Also part of this prayer is gratitude. And I looked it up. It is called thanking a higher power. I remember being so impressed with the Indians when I was a young person. I was a cowboy, by the way, so just putting that out there. The Indians actually, after they actually killed an animal or had a big blessing, they actually would give thanks to the Great Spirit. So gratitude, and I looked it up, a bunch of different other religions, how many religions, they do actually have gratitude. Can you pray to something and actually have gratitude? They're giving gratitude to a higher power. The other thing that is universal is asking of forgiveness and repentance. We come from a background where there was confessionals done. The Anabaptists go back in 1500s, as we know, to the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, you went to confessional. And you asked me, forgive me, O Father, for I have, and then you go on with the, I have sinned, and you laid out your sin. It was the universal reaching for a higher forgiveness. You're going to do that through prayer. They do it through prayer. Some people do, or repair. Yeah, let me back up. Forgiveness and repentance through prayer. Guidance and wisdom. I would venture to say for every one of us, if I would ask every one of us the question, if you've ever felt helpless in a decision, big decision in front of you, is it the right one? The why and the road. You know the why and the road that you're at right now is going to make all the difference in how your life changes or how your life turns out. Or as you're walking, it feels like your path is just not quite open. Or it's murky. Or you're walking in fog. That happens. We reach for a higher power. I found this very interesting. There is a thing, these drug carriers that are bringing drugs of all things, agents of death. And when they're bringing the agents of death and of addiction, across the borders, they give sacrifices to Santa Marita. Talk about reaching for the wrong thing. Intercession. This is a big one. We can give, if you see people in your life, intercession means this, praying in behalf of someone else. How many of you know in your life of people that need help and are going down a wrong way? I do. I never really knew intercessory prayer until you started praying for maybe a child, which happened to me, or your own children. Intercessory prayer where you step in and say, God, this person is going so wrong. But this is also, this is something that is actually practiced outside the Christian faith. Another one is appeasing an angry God. This is where Christianity and paganism really goes sideways different. They really go different on this one. Sometimes we do things that are sinful, that anger God. You look at some of the things that Israel did, and some of God's servants did, and God was angry. So they appease an angry God. Something else that happens, and this is, also reminds me, the devil is such an absolute copycat when it comes to this thing of prayer. The other thing that they do to this day, is sacrifice. It's the offering of something for the appeasing of an angry God. The Aztecs back in years and years ago, the Aztecs, they actually would sacrifice 20,000 humans annually. That's conservative. That's a conservative number. Just to appease an angry God. We cannot appease an angry God by sacrificing animals, sacrificing anything in your life. There is one sacrifice that appeases an angry God, and that's the blood of His Son. What is Christian prayer? Turn with me to, this is what I want to look at the rest of the morning. What is a Christian prayer? What is Christian prayer? John 16, and these are again really, really familiar verses. We're going to be kind of cutting into a verse, into a chapter. So let's turn to John 16, verse 23 to 26. And I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, that you will ask the Father directly, and He will grant your request because you use my name. You have not done this before. Ask using my name, you will receive and you will have abundant joy. I have spoken of these matters in figures of speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively and I will tell you plainly all about the Father, and then you shall ask in my name. I am not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. This is what I say, that what I see in this. It is the relationship. The interesting thing about the relationship that we have with God is we can go directly to the throne. Before this time, we could not go to the throne. We had to go through a priest. We had to go through corporate worship rituals and sacrifices. Jesus Christ died and the veil was rent from top to bottom, meaning this, we have direct access to the Father. I like to also call it direct access to the throne. We also, with this relationship with God, is this. If you speak with God, if I speak with my wife, if she loves me, she will speak back. If we have a relationship, there is communication going on. One of the things that we do to communicate is we have conversation. If you don't have a conversation, you don't have a relationship. I don't care how much of a quiet person that we can be. The interesting thing, though, is, too, we have to pray through the Father. I don't know how this all works, but it tells you in verse 24, you haven't done this before, but ask using my name. What that does, if you're going through the Son, you honestly, that's what gives you the power to get into the presence of the Father. There is a person and there is a being that God knows like no other, and that is His Son. If you're praying through the Son, He knows the Son. He sees the prayer coming through His Son. He will recognize that prayer as something coming from, especially from one of His children. I want to talk about preparing our hearts for prayer. Turn to James 4. Verse 7 through 10. What am I saying about preparing yourself for prayer? There are so many hindrances that can come. And it seems if we don't prepare ourselves for something sometimes, or look into, is where the power can be lost in prayer. I have to prepare my heart to have full communication with my God. It doesn't just happen. You don't wake up one day and say, "Lord, I'm praying for you today. I'm praying to you today." I really do believe, I want to talk about this a little bit later, about this whole thing of unprepared prayer, if there is such a thing. Verse 7, let's just read. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to stop. Realize who God is. You cannot pray to someone that you do not know that exists. It says, humble yourselves before God. So we are humbling ourselves before God. Verse 8, come close to God and He will come close to you. It is an invitation, not an order. It also means if you have to come close to God that you have to make the first move. God will draw you. If you're praying to God, it's because He drew you. If you are praying to God, it means that He has put things in front of you, blocks in front of you. He has put whys in the road ahead of you. I've already had it in my own personal life where things just kind of fall apart. And He is trying to get my attention, but He will not force me to talk to Him. He will not grab me and say, "Talk to me, please." You have to come close. That means becoming into His presence. You have to take yourself and put yourself in His presence. When God sees that you're trying, even if you're doing it imperfectly, there's something that turns, I believe, in God's heart. And it's kind of like a child that is helpless. There is a passion, a compassion that comes out from Him that goes to you. Wash your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Why wash your hands? Pretty simple. Most things that are done wrong in this earth are done with your hands. Starts in the mind, but done with your hands. It talks about how you live your life when you're doing something with your hands. When I'm working with my hands, I'm physically doing things. And when I'm washing my hands, if I'm doing things of evil, my hands are dirty. If my heart is dirty, I'm doing evil things. I need washing. It says, wash your hands, ye sinners, and it calls purify your hearts. What's he saying? Your heart has to get turned towards your God. The purifying and the washing comes from God, but the purifying, the action of starting and walking towards God for purification has to come from you. Has to. God will not force you. The part about your loyalty is divided between God and man. Is really an interesting thing. How are you going to pray to God if your heart is actually somewhere else? How can I love my wife if my heart is somewhere else? How can I love something? And God knows this. You cannot pray to two things. Some people have tried. They try to bring the mix, the paganism with actual God prayer. It doesn't work. God hates it. That's what you call lukewarmness. Verse 9. Let there be tears for what you have done. Talks repentance. When there is tears, and there's usually tears as some size, shape, or form that can go with repentance. It means you realize that you have really messed up. This is where when you repent is when you turn from your own stubborn way, from my own stubborn way, and you realize that I have a problem and I'm turning my face towards an all-holy God. And there's something that happens with me. There's an emotion that comes out is when you just give up. Does. I'm done. I've had it, and I cannot help myself no more. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. What a depressing verse. Verse 10. And verse 7 ties right in with this. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. The word humble means to depress yourself. We look at the word depress as like, I don't feel good. I feel depressed today. It's a depressing day. I'm dealing with depression. We're looking at it a little bit wrong. This word depress means this. It means to push down. It means to tamp down yourself. If you're going to humble yourself before God, it means you take yourself, you bring it underneath the subjection of an all-holy God. You cannot have a true relationship with God or true prayer with God until you take care of that thing, that pride, that lust, that pick your sin that you have in your life that you do not want to give up to God is this. You have to humble and depress that down and take that pride and yourself and put it down and put God first. And it doesn't say, and I will lift you up in honor. No. He, which means God, will lift you up in honor. Never seen that, so like right now. If you humble yourself, you almost get the feeling that if I'm humbling myself now, I'm good enough for God to recognize me and to talk with me. When you humble yourself, it says He will lift you up. God does the lifting. All we have to do depress ourselves. How do we pray? Turn with me to Matthew 6. This is how do we physically pray. There's different ways of praying. There's your corporate prayer. We had corporate prayer. Levon prayed before we got started here. Some of this, what it's talking about, is talking about corporate prayer, about praying publicly. Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. How many of you want to walk into Walmart, stand in the middle of Walmart, start praying out loud in a very eloquent way? This was a different time. It must have been something to seize when publicly you sit there and shout your prayers to God in the middle of where everybody can see. We live in so much more of a humble time, I guess. I seen it one time, and I might have been a little bit judgmental when I was a younger person. We're invited to another church, and this goes back, 34, 35 years ago. And we're invited to a church, and soon after we're married, there's a young guy by the name of Merle. He was Down syndrome, and he had a passion for inviting people to his church. You got to love people like him, because you talk about a lack of shame. And Merle seen us, young married people, never seen us before, stops us and he goes, come to church. So we did. And so we went to this church, and I'm not saying they were doing anything wrong. It's just different. It's a different way of doing things. They did the corporate prayer where everybody prayed. You ever in one of those services? Kind of seems a little bit like chaos. And I'll never forget, there was a young man, I'm not sure what was going on, but I remember there was this corporate prayer where everybody was praying out loud, and there was one guy, and everybody would pray, of course, if you're humble, you do kind of quiet, loud prayers. And if you were, but this guy here was going to town. He echoed. And I remember thinking, is he looking for attention? Do I know? Was I judging? Maybe. It was just different. I will say this, true prayer is never showy. You don't pray for show. Can we pray for show? Yeah. If any of you prayed in front of people, we like to do a good prayer. I do. I like to do a good prayer. Real prayer is this, verse 6, but when you pray, and this is how we do for yourself, and this is effective prayer. This is effective prayer, even if you do it maybe even by yourself. But sometimes only two or three people can be even much more effective, or it can be really good. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut your door behind you. And pray to your Father in public. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Personal prayer is intimate. What do I mean by this? I know I've said this before, but it really bears repeating. When you pray to God, be explicit. Every one of us has thoughts. We have things that is very, very, very private to each one of us. There is nothing wrong with going and telling God explicitly what you're struggling with. There's also a big help in going and talking to other trusted people. I get it. That is really a huge part of it. But there's something, and I have done this, and it's kind of embarrassing. Not that God doesn't know. God knows your thoughts. He knows what's going on in your head. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what your happiness are, what your sadness are, what your fears are. He knows your life before you even thought it. So why in the world, when you're praying out loud, and this is the thing that you want to do when you go into a closet. Don't just sit there and mumble at your dark little closet. Talk out loud. It doesn't necessarily have to be a closet. Have a little Toyota RAV4. It's not much of a closet, kind of a closet on wheels. I've had some very, very interesting prayers in that little thing. And I've noticed if I say it out loud, and I pray for something out loud, it's the first time or two I really did it is kind of weird. I always thought praying was kind of in your head. Or nicely pray, but sometimes just if you're frustrated with life, just lay it out to God in a frustrated way. The thing about God is He loves conversations and He loves you being honest. This is what it's doing. Shut the door and pray to your Father in private. Now, I've noticed something. The more I pray to God as this God I'm praying up to, but He is that. But you have an actual conversation with Him. I've noticed something even on a personal level. I've seen some amazing prayers answered. Quickly turn to Romans 8. This is something else. Oh, verse 16 and 17 of that verse. I want to look at that just for a minute. This is big. This is really, really big. Let's say you're stuck in life. It talks about prayer and fast. When you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. You're going to pray more to God for some reason when you're stuck in life than you will any other time in your life. Why is that? I don't know. It just seems that's the way us humans work. When we really get stuck, this is when we take it to God. There is a power. Let me repeat that. There is power in adding fasting in. Why does that work? I've heard explanations is because you're giving of yourself and so on and so forth. I agree with all that. However, I tell you what's reason enough for me. Jesus Christ Himself did it sometimes, or Christians, we're meant to do this. Fast and pray, it concentrates your mind. Turn with me to Romans 8:26. I want to look at that just for a minute. Verse 26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we do know that God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Have you ever had something going on in your life, or you're praying to God and you really don't know what to say? This has really helped me knowing, that's why sometimes it feels when you pray, it's not going to the ceiling. Sometimes you don't know what to say. Some of us have had some grief in our life, and you don't know what to say. You go to someone, We went to a tragic, just a viewing of a friend of mine's, their child, a grandchild, died. And I just, my thing to him is just, I don't know what to say. And he goes, you don't need to say anything. The end of verse 26 says this, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed with words. That means that, and let's go read verse 27, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. I'm going to look at the God's will part, but not yet. If you do not know what to say, and sometimes you, I don't say if we don't want to pray, but sometimes it's just, there's so much comfort in this. The Holy Spirit goes in front of the Father for you, even if you don't feel like it or you don't know what to say, there is still conversation happening. It really means if you are a child of God, you are never alone. You always have a voice in front of the Father. If you are a child of His, and you do not know how to pray or what to pray or how to pray for someone, there's communication going on anyhow. So one other thought, a thing I want to look at on this whole thing about praying. It talks about living in the attitude of praying. Pray without ceasing. That means a lifestyle. It's part of you. You ever find yourself praying or just having a word of prayer or you think about somebody? Like if you think of Steve this week, do you have to burst into this flowery prayer of God to heal him? No. Do it if that's what you want to do. Breathe the prayer. Be the prayer. I have a list of questions here that can be asked about prayer. That you hear quite a bit, and I know I've thought, I don't know if there's all the answers, but I have all the answers, but I always enjoy we did the youth. We were with the youth, and we did Sunday morning, we had question and answer time. And that's probably my favorite part. Question one. If I pray and fast, and I'm living right, which that's all a part of it. You're not living to earn God's salvation, but if your life is in order, and God doesn't seem to answer your prayer, be it whatever, do you think Steve has, I prayed with God and with Steve and Shakun on his cancer, for their cancer. We prayed with them. It's a great time. What if God doesn't answer? Simply, the first answer can be this. Answer A. Maybe it's no. Maybe it's just a simple no. Maybe God knows whatever you're asking for would destroy you. Be careful what you ask for. You might just get it. I've noticed something with me. This is personal. I'm talking very personally on this one, on these, this next and this on the next one is this. If God would have given me the dreams of my heart and things that I would have prayed for, it would have destroyed my spiritual life. Guaranteed. God was wise enough to not give me all my hopes and dreams. Because He's wise and I'm not. The other thing that I've noticed, if you're praying for something, a guidance and direction, let's say Let's say you really are at a why in the road and you don't understand that you need answers. Sometimes I already had it where I needed an answer to something, to a life direction. And you wait for the feeling of the Holy Spirit and of God answering you and giving you. Sometimes there's a very clear direction. You come up to something. Here's a clear direction. God has laid out a path. There's healing shows up. There can be answer for many different prayers. When He says no to me, it's not because He doesn't love me. It doesn't mean that He didn't hear my prayer. It just means that He has an other answer for me, not the one I'm looking for. That's why I'm living in northern Indiana. God had another plan. Question 2. Can you live in sin but still pray? If you're living in sin willfully, all of us deal with sin. All of us fall. All of us have things that we have had to repent for. If you willfully sin, it cuts the relationship. You can get the relationship back. But if you, the Bible does actually talk about some of this, that the evil people's prayer I will not hear. He will hear one prayer that will never change. Is when you turn to Him and says, God save me. What if you're struggling with something in your life? A thing that you can't get your mind or your heart or your life, and you do not want to. And I've walked this one. This one's very personal. And you prayed for a victory but don't have it. Sometimes God needs to take you on a journey before He gives you a victory. And let me tell you a little secret. If you keep going to God with that thing, whatever it is, be willing to walk that journey, because at the end of that journey or during that journey, I'm going to tell you something. He will give you victory. I have victory. God has gave me victory. I would have not been able to have the victory without the journey. Don't discount the journey. As long as your face is willfully towards God and you're not living in sin willfully, God's ears are always open. Can you have no prayer life and still be a Christian? Let me ask you that are married. Can you have a strong relationship without communication, without talking? Last one. Sometimes it seems dead. If you're in a place where you seem like your prayer life is kind of dead without life, I have 2 words. Never stop. Just keep talking. Keep talking to God, because you keep talking to Him, He's listening. What you don't realize, remember about the thing about the Holy Spirit? He's talking. Just because your emotions seem to be sometimes dead, it's kind of normal. It's human nature. All relationships kind of work this way sometimes. Sometimes, don't mean they're dead, but it seems kind of, you're at a low point. And the next time, it's just the greatest thing ever. Well, yeah, never stop. Keep being honest with God. That's all I have. I want everybody to stand. Let's pray. Father God, we just got done talking here about talking to you. God, you are a God who actually loves us so much that you want to talk to us. You want to have a conversation with us, God. And God, so often we don't want to because we love ourselves so much, or maybe we're in a place in our life, God, where we just can't. God, you never go away. As long as our face is pointed towards you, God, you really, 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 really want us to be in your presence. God, help us, teach us how to actually just talk to you, because this is where our life comes from, and this is where the sweetness of relationship comes from. God, this is also where me and everybody here just, we find victory in it, God. Help us. It is also where I start trusting you. God, you love us so much that you do not let us down. God, I just pray that if there's anybody here, God, that if they don't have a relationship with you, or they seem stuck in their relationship, or maybe are just not really feeling it. Or, God, thank you so much that your Holy Spirit is still bringing our prayers to you and laying them at your feet. You've loved us so much that you have even done that. God, bless this church. God, I just pray that you would just pour out your Holy Spirit into each and every life that's here. God, heal any wounded soul. We just pray, God, we would give joy to where joy needs to be. And God, sometime we are going to be in your presence, having a relationship and talking with you forever. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. One other thing. How many of you have... remember the child song, Whisper of Prayer in the Morning? Do you know that? Raise your hands. Okay. Let's sing that. I think it's only one verse. Is it one verse, Tom? Let's just do one verse, though. Whisper of prayer in the morning.